As the federal government wages war on Christianity and patriotism, we're seeing more traps set. Now it appears that feds have infiltrated yet another so-called patriot group. To be here, Uncensored, Unafraid, and Unstoppable. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Well, the United Kingdom was a pioneer in the rise of modern Christian activism. But now the regime of that country has turned against the very movement that it created. Yeah, in the Britain of today, Christians are marked for persecution and humiliation and harassment and destruction. Nobody understands that quite like Isabel von Spruce does. Isabel is a pro-life activist in Britain. She is co-director of March for Life UK and a campaign director with the group 40 Days for Life. Isabel has the distinction of being arrested twice for literal thought crimes. Last November, Britain's supposedly conservative government, fake there just like it is here, passed a law creating so-called public spaces protection orders, or PSOPs, around the country's abortion clinics. So the official stated justification for these is to prevent harassment of those murdering babies, getting abortions. But of course, that's not the real purpose, because it never is. Laws like this already exist to criminalize actual targeted harassment. No, the purpose of these is to target and to silence and to marginalize a form of speech that the British government is now at war with. Isabel has refused to be intimidated. Twice now, police have arrested her for standing physically close to an abortion clinic and silently praying. Here's one of those arrests. So praying silently, is that a misdemeanor or is it a felony? Either way, off to the hooskow for you, Isabel, right? Looks eerily familiar, actually. I mean, we've seen this happen right here in the supposedly free country of the United States of America, as patriots who were praying silently on the Capitol steps on January 6th were hauled off without due process and sentenced as POWs without a trial. Many of them are still in jail. Part of Isabel's experience, and we're not making this up, by the way, part of Isabel's experience has actually involved the police interrogating her about what was exactly going through her mind inside of the PSOP anti-protest zone. Literal questions about her thoughts. Isabel was acquitted for her first supposed offense. But of course, this isn't just about individual arrests. She's leading a continued campaign to defend both the unborn and the right of Christians to speak up on behalf of the unborn. That's why she led a group of prayerful demonstrators who in April were also arrested by British police once again. And we suspect that if this law isn't changed, Isabel will be happy to be arrested as many times as it takes. And we're happy to have her here with us today, Isabel. Thank you so much for making the time for us. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, this is a war against Christianity, openly, isn't it?
I think we do have to look really seriously at how this affects Christians. The fact that the prayers are particularly being targeted. Prayers are thoughts directed towards God. So it's not saying you can't think about abortion in that particular area, but if your thoughts about abortion are directed towards God, then it becomes criminal, or at least it's an arrestable offense at the moment.
You weren't there causing a scene. I mean, you were literally silently praying. Is that right?
Absolutely. To anyone walking past, I could have been waiting for a taxi, just thinking on a street corner, who knows what I might have been doing. The first time I was arrested, the abortion centre had been closed, and yet I was charged with intimidating service users. There were no service users. There was nobody using the abortion centre. You know, it does kind of beg the question, who's intimidating who?
Well, you look like a very intimidating person, obviously. I mean, physical build, you're just absolutely threatening. Of course, I'm being facetious. What did the cops say to you when they pulled up? I mean, what was the justification for taking you into custody and carting you off like a criminal?
So they asked me if I was protesting, and I made it clear I wasn't protesting, that I was simply praying in my head. Well, the first time I was arrested, I only said I might be silently praying. So I was arrested on what my thoughts might be. The second time I was arrested, I was told that my prayers were an offence, quite strongly, quite emphatically. And when I disputed that and said I didn't think prayers were offensive, it came back at me even stronger. Prayers are an offence. So it was quite clear that it was the prayers that were making me be arrested. And again, when I was being cautioned at the police station and interrogated there, that's what they were quizzing me about. What were you thinking about? What were your prayers about? Quite clearly, that's what they wanted to know.
So had you been standing there considering murdering a baby, that would be okay. But if you're silently talking to your Lord and Savior, that is a criminal offense. What did they charge you with?
So I was charged on two accounts of protesting and engaging in an act which was intimidating service users. But like you rightly pointed out, I was completely acquitted of that alongside a priest who was also charged next to me with having a bumper sticker on his car which said Unborn Lives Matter. He was acquitted too. But as you know, within 2 weeks, I was rearrested, and I'm still waiting to hear whether I'm going to be charged or not for the second offence.
So did you have to go to trial? I mean, did you have a trial in front of a jury?
So I went to a magistrate's court and I was tried there very, very quick. It was over, you know, probably within a minute or two. It was a very clear-cut case. The prosecution offered no evidence. They had nothing to say, essentially. So it seemed a very simple case, which is why I presumed that, of course, I can go back and pray outside the abortion centre. This has all been sorted out. But as you say, no, it wasn't. I was arrested by six police officers the second time, and those police officers took me away in a police van. It shows the kind of power of prayer, doesn't it? I suppose that's the good side of it, that we realise our prayers are making a difference if there is such a campaign to shut them down.
What do you think this is really all about? I mean, obviously, this is not about just you praying. This is a much larger movement than that. Who's controlling this, and what is the end goal?
I think there's people with certain ideologies nowadays have become incredibly intolerant of anyone who has an opinion different to them. And I can see a sort of microcosm of that on the street where the abortion centre is. There's an abortion centre at one end of the street. There happens to be a church at the other end of the street. And it's like two opposing forces, and it's palpable, you know, that you know what's in the air there. We've been spat at, we've been physically assaulted, we've had our property stolen, cars driving down the street at us at high speed. You know, the campaign against us has been absolutely relentless. And the interesting thing is that when my volunteers moved outside the buffer zone, it didn't stop. You know, they were in an area where they could barely even see the abortion centre, and yet still people were spitting at them and accusing them of all kinds of things. So as we say, you know, this PSPO, this buffer zone, it's really fostered that intolerance rather than, you know, helping to ease any division that was in that street.
So when you were being spat on and when cars were trying to run you down in an act of attempted murder, obviously, those people were then arrested as well, correct?
Well, we did go to the police, and actually one of the locals had to do what's called restorative justice because he physically assaulted a priest, actually. In fact, the same priest who was later on arrested himself, well, later on, sorry, charged himself. So that happened on one occasion, but it is very, very difficult to get the police to act with those sort of instances. In fact, one of the police officers said to me, if you don't want to be assaulted, well, you don't have to come out of your house, do you? That's what we're dealing with here.
Oh, yeah. Just stay home, lock yourself inside, close your eyes, and do not spread the word of God anywhere. Do not use the power of prayer to try to attack these demonic forces in the way that God would want you to pick up the sword and fight against this, to protect these little ones, these unborn children who are being murdered at record smashing numbers in that country. I mean, there's no car chasing down the people who are trying to murder you, I presume.
Well, the sad thing is we see how actually women lose out on this too. Many of the people involved in our campaign are post-abortive women. They're women who've been through an abortion or even multiple abortions and know how much they were lied to, know that they weren't offered any alternatives when they were in really difficult situations. And they want to make sure that other women do have those alternatives. And yet people are, like you say, you know, they're being criminalized now for what they want to do in offering help to others. And it's women that will lose out. We speak to many women who are being coerced, who are being pressured, who are really struggling with situations, and we want to offer them help. But we're being prevented doing that now by these absolutely ridiculous laws that are coming in.
Yeah. But they will prevent you not, I would assume. I've got about a minute left here. Do you have any plans to stop or slow this kind of activity?
We've got national buffer zones have now been voted in outside all our abortion centres, but we know that we're on the side of truth. And, you know, as it says in the Acts of the Apostles, if this is from God, then nothing can stop it.
Yeah. Please continue on. And thank you so much for being here, Isabel von Spruce. God bless you. And thank you for all of your efforts. We appreciate it.
God bless.
Look around at what's going on right now. Banks are collapsing all over the place. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. They say taxpayers won't pay. They say that other banks will pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? They'll probably raise your bank fees like they always do. And if the Fed steps in, you'll likely also be paying an inflation tax. In times like this, storing all of your money in a bank may be very risky, as we have seen. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Protect your wealth with gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now. Call 855-706-GOLD to learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Call GoldCo today, 855-706-GOLD.
Taxation is theft, especially when your money is used to fund evil.
Wear a mask. Get boosted.
Corona hoax, mass deception, America controlled by fear. Good news, there's another way. You can stop paying for the crimes and cover-up today through Freedom Law School.
The best thing you can do, according to the IRS's own official auditors, is to stop filing and paying income taxes.
Based on the government's official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. See the proof for yourself on freedomlawschool.org. Don't wait to drain the DC swamp. Start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Starve out the problem. Weaponize your earnings. Defund the swamp and fund the truth and freedom movement today. Go to livefreenow.org and restore the freedom we all miss.
Filtersuck.com is the leading manufacturer in filterless air purification systems, whether you're dealing with pollen or mold or dust, shedding from your pet, or vaccinated neighbors' mRNA spike protein shedding. Filtersuck.com has solutions for every scenario, at home, at work, or on the go. Breathe with confidence. Don't let your air suck. Rest well knowing that your home is protected 24/7, so now you can get a unit for your home or a portable unit for on-the-go travel. That's filtersuck.com. Use promo code STU for 10% off when you go to filtersuck.com. So a very curious event happened over the weekend in Oregon City, Oregon. That's a suburb of Portland. And as you'd expect for Portland, there were big pride festivities happening over the weekend. Well, in a welcome surprise, though, there were also people happy to protest against Pride. A group of Proud Boys showed up at the event to demonstrate against the promotion of degeneracy and the sexualization and rape and molestation of children and a whole lot more. I mean, these events are disgusting. Naked men walking down the street or men wearing diapers, bending over, showing their buttholes to kids. It's absolutely an abomination. But the Proud Boys weren't the only group at the event. There was also a crowd from another group calling itself the Patriot Front. Now, for a lot of you, all of these different groups might run together, but they shouldn't. The Proud Boys are a pro-Christian and basically Western chauvinist group. In other words, they just like Western civilization. They aren't a white supremacist group, whatever lies the media might tell you. And you can figure that out simply by looking at them. They're a diverse bunch. Patriot Front, on the other hand, actually are white supremacists. We have to say that. They like to show up at events. They like to mask up to hide their identities. They like to do things like deliver Hitler salutes and shout, Sieg Heil. Neo-fascist is a slur most of the time, but Patriot Front, to be clear, are literally basically neo-fascists. Now, unsurprisingly, a lot of other conservative groups don't like them. We want to promote Christianity. We want to protect our children. We want to preserve our God-given constitutional rights. We don't want to build a Fourth Reich in America. So when the Proud Boys saw their protest getting mucked up by some neo-Nazis, they got annoyed and they picked a fight, accusing the Patriot Front members of being feds. Well, during that fight, several members of the Patriot Front were unmasked. Now, this case of the unmasking of what appears to be a group of weenies has caused a huge amount of discussion online. Some people believe that they've identified the person who was unmasked. Now, we're not going to give that person's name because it has not been confirmed to be that person, and that person denies it. We should always be careful to not falsely accuse someone. However, if the web sleuths are correct, this person's identity is very interesting. He's a criminology student who expressly says that he wants to work for the federal government. He's also a member of a Jewish college fraternity, an odd background for somebody who would join a neo-Nazi group, to say the least. And since being accused, this person has publicly denied being the person behind the mask in that video, but they've also aggressively scrubbed their local social media online. Not exactly the behavior of someone with nothing to hide, of course. But of course, if this person really was a Fed, then it adds yet another piece of evidence to an ever-growing pile that the federal government is at war with ordinary Americans, acting as an American Gestapo whose purpose is to delegitimize and spy on and crush political dissent against the military-industrial complex and, of course, Big Homo. Groups like Patriot Front are the perfect example of what happens. This is exactly what happens when you push any social group or race or religion too far. And we have teachers in our schools making white kids hate themselves because of their skin color. We have blacks running around assaulting whites in broad daylight with impunity. Illegal immigrant brown-skinned criminals rape white women and flood our streets with heroin and fentanyl, and if they're somehow entangled with the cops, some Soros-funded prosecutor will just decline to file formal charges, or Kamala Harris and her bail fund will spring them out of jail. Let me be very clear here. It's not a crime to be white, and it's not a criminal offense to be proud of being white. Make no mistake, whites and Christians are under attack in America. It's our fake government that's solely responsible for radicalizing extremist groups like Patriot Front. Alex Shepard is a patriot and a citizen reporter. He's been following this story closely, and he joins us now. Alex, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. I mean, it's plausible to say that, you know, there's some federal infiltration going on here. This doesn't look like a group of genuine fighters for God.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the big tell is really that they're all wearing masks. And of course, that's something that Antifa does. And the more we look back at Antifa in the summer of 2020, the more I really start to question how much the feds were involved with them even and helping them. Benny Johnson reported that this group, which some are saying it's Patriot Front, some are saying it's the Rose City Nationalists, which you really can't tell the difference by the outfit or anything. But Benny Johnson reported that they got a private subway in D.C. And in Oregon, they're getting private subways to go to these places totally blocked off from other people. So it really
Who's sending them there in these private subways, and who's protecting them from being, you know, approached there?
Well, that's the question. And like you said, this person who was unmasked was a student at a college in California, San Francisco Valley. And I think that the feds are getting, I think the feds are groomers, basically, because not only are they protecting Joe Biden and other pedophiles that were on Epstein Island, but it appears that they're getting really young people and their new recruits to do all of their dirty work. I know you reported on Luke Robinson a while ago, and you know that's another case where it's like this guy had a gun at the Capitol. He had an earpiece, wasn't arrested. He was confronted about it. And it really does seem like they're getting these young guys to do the dirty work. And as you mentioned earlier, this person's fraternity posted on their Instagram page that this individual once wanted to work for the government in the future. And you know, his alibi, if you will, was that he's been busy with graduation and all that. He graduated on the 21st from college. And you know, that might be right. People might have the wrong guy, so I don't want to make any claims that aren't true. But then the other individual that was unmasked, many people believe it's, you know, the online sleuths, as you say, believe it's someone named Casey Knutson, which is interesting because this man was a member of the Texas Proud Boys in 2021, and now all of a sudden he's in Oregon, and they say that he is the founder of this group that was supposedly there. If it wasn't the if it wasn't Patriot Front, Daily Mail reported it was the Rose City Nationalists who were there. And I've never heard anything about this group, but it wouldn't be, you know, some people are saying that the one who was unmasked, who went to school in California, the skinnier looking Jewish guy, you know, some people are saying that there's no way it could have been him because he lived thousands of miles away. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that they are sending these people out wherever they can to do, you know, their operations and their psyops.
Yeah. We had people on the streets right here in Minneapolis in the wake of George Floyd's fentanyl overdose death, where Derek Chauvin was trying to save his life and keep him under control and protect the public there. We saw people from thousands of miles away in our city, people who had never even been here before. I mean, we had politicians here demanding that the city burn down that were from California, as a matter of fact. It doesn't look like a group of people who are genuinely authentic. I mean, as you're looking at them as a whole, these people don't even look like they know how to fight. And this suggests even more so that they're feds. I remember from my bounty hunting days being at the gun range and doing tactical training. When these FBI agents would show up, everybody laughed because it was dangerous. These people didn't know how to operate a handgun. It was quite embarrassing, actually. And when I asked a couple of them about it, I just said, hey, listen, if I see you show up at a crime scene or an active scene somewhere, I'm not going to be around because that is embarrassing the way that you're. And he said, well, I work an office job. It doesn't matter. You carry that gun. You present yourself with some sort of a posture when you know that you're there for the right reasons, and you slouch your shoulders and run and cower and hide behind masks when you know that you're there for nefarious purposes. So if you truly are legitimately there for the purpose of defending, you know, children against this grooming and rape and molestation and public displays of, you know, pedophilia, then you would think that you would be proud to show your face. I show my face on this program every day and say the truth.
That's right. And if you want to look at history, you know, if these people are Nazis, you look at the Nazis in World War II, they weren't wearing masks because they genuinely believed in, you know, what they were fighting for, or many of them did. And the big picture here is that this is why I believe we really need to look at whether we should be funding the Department of Justice and the FBI, ATF, all these three-letter agencies, because I do believe that they are currently working against the American people and trying to entrap people. For example, you know, I recently went down to the Miami, Florida protest outside of the courthouse. And first thing that I heard when I was there was this nice, attractive young lady talking with some guy. And, you know, they're making small talk. And then she goes, hey, do you have any plans to try to get into the courthouse? And this is the first thing I heard when I was in Miami. And of course, he goes, hell no. because that'd be breaking the law. And that's exactly what they were encouraging leading up, the feds were, and the media was that there was going to be violence or disruption and all that stuff. So he said, you know, hell no. And then he went around everywhere telling people, hey, look out for that girl, because I think that she's trying to set people up. So that's why I think this video that was recently released, the Proud Boys unmasking these people, that's why I think it's significant. I want to state from the start that I'm totally against doxing and I'm totally against violence of any kind. But at the same time, you know, sometimes these people dox and these people are violent, but that doesn't make it right. But at the end of the day, we should be taking the masks off these people because we deserve to know who is around us and who is trying to smear our movement when in reality, they're not even a part of it.
Yeah. What would be, for the viewers, your opinion, we value that, of course, what would be your opinion of why the feds would want to infiltrate or create a group like this, like they created Antifa, like they created ISIS? Why would the feds have an interest in being present at something like this, in your opinion?
Well, I think it comes down to divide and conquer. They want us divided based on race, gender, all this other nonsense they're pushing. They don't want the American people to unite and come together and realize who the real enemy is. The real enemy is not Russia. It kind of is China, but it's not the most important. The real enemy is in Washington, D.C., in our government. And we have people running our government that, in many cases, like Joe Biden, like Katie Hobbs, were not elected. And, you know, there were wars started, you know, the Revolutionary War. A big part of that was just a small tax on tea. And they said, you know, no taxation without representation and all that. Well, we are way beyond that with no taxation without representation. We're sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine. Nobody knows where it's going. Really, it's just going in people's pockets, of course. But to answer your question, why they're doing this, I think that if you look at January 6th, for example, I mean, they want to paint populist people, patriotic Americans, they want to paint them as something that they're not. They want to make it that they're a threat to society so they can put terrorist labels on them, you know, throw them in jail. And then most importantly, you know, you look at the main effect of January 6th, there were a couple of them. First, they never got to, even though five states were going to challenge the electoral results, senators and House of Representatives, they were going to challenge the electoral results and debate it on the floor. They never got that debate, and they certified the election in the middle of the night, right? But then the other big part of that was that ever since January 6th, I mean, you see the conversation, you talk to these people, people are afraid to go protest, people are afraid to go and make their voices heard. And there's a reason it's the First Amendment in our Constitution, because it really is the most important. We cannot be scared out of speaking our minds. We can't be scared out of protesting when we're being oppressed. But the thing is, everyone is afraid to do it because they know that they're going to be put on a list and they're afraid that they're going to be set up by some feds and they're going to be, you know, found guilty of committing some crime that nobody even knew existed.
Yeah. You know, and I agree with that sentiment 100%, which is exactly why it would be in the best interest of the federal government to infiltrate like this. And if, you know, obviously from where I sit, it appears to be your position that this is a federal operation, that this, what we saw in Oregon City, Oregon over the weekend was certainly like a mini Fedsurrection, if you will, where federal agents were there to cause problems and be provocateurs. We saw that in large scale on January 6th. But let's just say for just a second to play devil's advocate that these Rose City Nationalists or, you know, Patriot Front, whomever it was there, is an actual organic group and that these people actually do believe in the things that they're saying. Isn't that just exactly what happens when you agitate a group of people and push them like Christians or, you know, people who believe in Western civilization or, you know, in the Bible, male and female? Isn't this or protecting our kids? Isn't this just exactly what you get when a group like that is pushed too far? You actually radicalize them organically. And that's maybe another hope for the government, the fake corporate crime syndicate, is to radicalize people into extremists so that they have the justification that they need to go ahead and arrest them. So if it's organic, they get what they want. And if it's a federal setup, they get what they want, because then they're demonstrating this is the kind of behavior that you would really participate in if you genuinely felt that strongly about protecting children.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, the Proud Boys, for example, as you know, were founded by Gavin McInnes just to fight back against Antifa, because nobody would defend regular American citizens from Antifa. And you know, that was a regular organic group, real people, real guys. But what ends up happening with all of these organizations, even if they're not initially fed operations, they become fed operations, because all it takes is just a couple people to infiltrate the group. And on the flip side of that, if you want to look at the Whitmer kidnapping hoax, which it was proven in trial that the that it was entrapment. I mean, you've got like four FBI agents and like two regular people. And the FBI agents are saying, let's go kidnap the governor. And the people are like, yeah, let's do it. Because you're exactly right. They are going after white people. They are going after Christians. They're going after men and straight men. And when you do that to such a large population, I mean, it is going to make a lot of people feel like outcasts and whatnot. And those are the people that the FBI is going to end up in their messages. They're going to end up in their ear. They're going to become their friend. And they're going to try to radicalize them and really push them to do something that they never would have thought of on their own, on their own.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Whether it's, as you said, a dissident to the American government, or somebody who voices reality, or an anti-vaxxer, or, you know, a proud America First Christian, you know, evangelist, alpha type male, that is exactly the person that the government doesn't want to have to fight. And that is also why gun owners is another class of people that no doubt has been targeted for war being waged by the corporate crime syndicate. They want to come for your guns. They want to disarm you. They want to feminize you. They want to criminalize masculinity and Christianity. They want to criminalize the America First movement. They want every single dissident thrown into the proverbial gulag, whether it is a digital, physical, or virtual prison. That is the idea here. 15-minute cities coming forth with, live in your pod, eat your bugs, let us raise your children, and by the way, give us unfettered access to them so that we can put our penises in their buttholes. That is the goal here. And we have to be able to say it out loud, and we won't stop until they throw me in jail, at which point I'll start a prison ministry, or they can kill me and I'll go home to heaven. Alex Shepard, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, you know that I'm a huge fan of Chuck Norris. He's not just an action star. He's a veteran. He's a family man. And he's actually really big on health. I don't know if you knew that or not. But get this. He says that he feels better right now at age 83 than he has in years. And it's not from making one change to his diet. What he realized is that after decades of trying every supplement out there, most of them did absolutely nothing for his health. I'm sure that you have tried these as well. But a few did provide dramatic changes, so he put them all together in a drink that he calls Morning Kick. Morning Kick combines all 10 of Chuck Norris's favorite supplements into one daily drink. It's got probiotics that help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for all those muscles and joints, and several of the most powerful anti-aging supplements on earth. I gotta say, I started taking Morning Kick, and I can see why everyone's raving about it. What's amazing is how much more energy I have. Digestion is fantastic. I'm thinking more clearly. Obviously, everyone is unique, so results will be different for different people. But for me, it's an absolute game changer. Makes me feel younger. Plus, it tastes great, just like strawberry lemonade. It's become my favorite drink, actually. If you want to try it for yourself, head over to Chuck Norris's website, roundhouseprovisions.com/stew. Again, roundhouseprovisions.com/stew, or click the link in any one of our broadcasts. All individuals are unique. As such, your results can and will vary.
The medical mafia is ripping life-saving medication off the shelves, overwhelming the system.
You will not fill ivermectin for COVID.
That's against the law.
No, actually it's not.
While communist doctors are doing everything they can to withhold care from patients in need.
Vaccination, Jim, has been the solution to every major public health issue. But when you have a virus that's circulating in the community and you are not vaccinated, you are part of the problem.
But there's hope. Dr. Stella Emanuel is saving lives with early treatments that are proven to work.
I just want to let everybody know, in America, you don't have to get sick. You don't have to wait till you get sick. Everybody needs to have ivermectin hydroxychloroquine in their medicine cabinet.
Dr. Stella is taking patients today. Go to drstellamd.com and use promo code STU to book an appointment and get life-saving meds sent straight to your doorstep. No hassle, no Fauci, only compassion. drstellamd.com. Promo code STU.
Okay, so here's a new one. Incredibly amazing stuff here. Scientists have actually discovered a mushroom that, get this, grows new brain cells. Through a newly discovered phenomenon called neurogenesis, it's now known that the brain can actually regenerate itself, and this exotic mushroom stimulates that process. I mean, they should give some of this stuff to Joe Biden. To learn more about this and the new breakthrough product, go to newtopia.com/stew and use promo code StuPeters10 for 10% off your first jar. I gotta tell you, this is a huge breakthrough for anyone who just wants to be smarter. And I mean, who doesn't want that? Again, to learn more, go to newtopia.com/stew. Again, newtopia.com/stew. So Dr. Ben Tapper is a chiropractor in Omaha, Nebraska. He's also a member of the notorious Disinformation Dozen on COVID. That's the group Chairman Biden himself denounced to the whole country. So in the wake of that, Dr. Tapper has had his clinic vandalized. He's had his phones hacked. He's had his home broken into. He's had his PayPal and Venmo accounts seized. In other words, Dr. Tapper knows exactly what it's like to actually get harassed for your true beliefs. He won't get any sympathetic portrayals from CNN or anyone else because they support that harassment. So, you know, it's pretty rich when the same press complains about someone like Pfizer pimp child murdering Dr. Peter Hotez getting harassed because someone showed up at his house. Didn't break in, didn't rob it, just showed up at it to record a video. That's the difference between fake persecution and being an actual dissident. A dissident like we have with us now, Dr. Ben Tapper joins us. I mean, do you agree that this is quite rich, that all of a sudden this Dr. Hotez is to be looked at as a victim? Mind you, the same guy who won't even have a vaccine debate with somebody like RFK Jr., even though there's some million-dollar deal in place to a charity of his choice.
Right. Well, I mean, truth welcomes dialogue. Science welcomes dialogue. It's pretty far reaching. That's what he wants to play the victim card to run from this debate and having this dialogue. I mean, it is rich when we have, was it $2.5 million we're at the table for being offered to for a charity of his choice to just have the debate. I mean, the man wrote a book on combating anti-science. And I mean, if it's really about the science, then let's have a talk about it. Science welcomes that dialogue. And so, again, I mean, the thing is, we have to understand that truth is on our side, and truth is treason in an empire of lies. And it goes to show you the times that we're in. If people like myself, I have nothing to gain by speaking out, and I have sacrificed a lot. I have put my practice on the line, my livelihood on the line, just to bring the truth to the people. And I've been silenced and censored. And, you know, George Martin said, when he cut out a man's tongue, you don't prove him a liar, but you are fearful of what he might have to say. What are they so afraid of? And that's the thing. We need to have this debate. It's time. The time is now to have this debate. And I always said that this debate was over before it even began. I mean, if you look at Pfizer's track record, look at all the violations, the largest fine in U.S. history for bribing physicians to lie to the people about pharmaceutical drugs they knew full well were causing harm to the people. And so that's the thing. How can we debate the integrity of a product when the people putting out this product have zero integrity?
What is the driving force of all of the fear? What are they really afraid of, in your opinion?
Well, if you really look at the science behind vaccinations, it'll flop the whole thing on its head. They're defending a multi-billion dollar industry. And right now, they know that the youth of our time, they don't want to just run to the pills. I mean, if you look at the stats, the average person over 65 is on 13 plus medications. They have comorbidities. And so they are losing that market. And so they have to push the vaccine market because it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Every vaccine they get on the childhood schedule is $1 billion in profit, or probably more than that. And that's what they want. If you look at the vaccine schedule since the 80s, it has skyrocketed due to the 1986 Vaccination Act, Compensation Act that was passed. And it gave them a green light to push as many vaccines on the market with no liability. And that's the problem. And so the driving force is obviously profit, but there's also a global agenda behind this whole thing. And so it's really criminal, and we need to wake up and have this conversation.
So that's the driving force for the people that are perpetuating this evil depopulation, actually human extinction event is what this is. And this is why the quest to get so many shots. So it's money and it's depopulation and it's power and it's control. But what about the blue check marks on Twitter who aren't doctors, who aren't scientists, who have been, you know, vaccinated and had all these boosters and they're all caught up to date? Why are people even in the streets, at the gas station, at the boating marina or wherever your tennis club might be, so emphatically just vigorous in their fight to stand up for, you know, these shots, despite all of the evidence proving all of the what we believe are intentional consequences or adverse events associated with them?
Right. It's a religion. It's literally a religion. And when you look at the vaccine summit of 2019, they took out "In God We Trust." They put "In Vaccines We Trust." Look at the Jesus statue in El Salvador. They lit up Jesus's chest and they put "Vaccine Saves." I mean, I don't know how more blasphemous you can be. And that's the thing. This whole thing, they put, you know, vaccines on a pedestal. And they almost, it's like a golden calf. It really is, because, you know, they said there's nothing you can do. Just wait till the savior of a vaccine comes to the world. And that's what this whole thing was. I said it was spiritual and psychological warfare, because you're just propping this vaccine up as a pedestal, as a savior of the world. And how blasphemous can you be? But again, that's why I say it's a religion. People are so, it's like this cognitive dissonance that is such a stronghold on these people's minds. And there's such a stigma around the topic of vaccines. But I'm so thankful right now, because the soil for truth is rich, because right now, more than ever before, people are asking about vaccines. We're having this dialogue right now about vaccinations. And this has been a massive burden to carry for so long, to try to educate the masses on the dangers of vaccines. And I've been doing this for over a decade. And so I'm so thankful to be able to have this opportunity to talk about it, because the people are asking the right kind of questions now. Yes, not the majority, but there are more people now than ever before. And that's the good thing about, I like to say, crony baloney, that has wakened people up and on the topic of vaccines.
Now, Rochelle Walensky didn't want to have this conversation. She didn't want to have this dialogue. Nobody from the CDC, nobody from the FDA wanted to have this dialogue. We haven't seen a press conference from Pfizer on the record-smashing number of dead babies and kids that are associated with this shot, or injuries, or people being maimed. And just like this Dr. Peter Hotez, fake Dr. Hotez, he doesn't want to have this debate either. And now is the time. If you truly did stand behind what you think is scientific, you know, expertise, and you think that you have the data to support your position and that this thing actually saved lives, or if you're Donald Trump, who won't come on this program because he knows that I'm going to ask him why he's unapologetic about, you know, rushing these things out to the market and still to this day continuing to say my vaccine saved millions of lives when we're looking at a completely different data set, they don't want to tell you what data they're looking at. They don't want to have the conversation. And just like you said, silencing somebody is because you're fearful of the truth that they might bring. That's all that is. And we are appreciative for you and everything that you've sacrificed and all that you have gone through in an effort to try to save lives. That's what this program is all about. And that's why we'll have you back anytime. We really appreciate it. Dr. Ben Tapper, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Stu. Thanks so much.
Everybody now knows that we live in an upside-down clown world under an empire of lies, a murderous regime. So previously, it may have sounded crazy, but I'm sure you won't be surprised to learn that liberals are very upset that people like me are advertising the Vanish holster. They cannot stand how this holster has helped get more Americans armed than ever before. What's so special about this Vanish holster, you might ask? Well, simple. It is the most comfortable holster ever. The most comfortable holster I've ever worn. I have plenty of experience, 15 years in bounty hunting, lots of experience with holsters and firearms. And when you get a Vanish holster, you'll never stop carrying because you'll forget you're even wearing it. Plus, the Vanish holster saves you money. That's because it fits 99% of all semi-auto handguns. It works without a tactical belt. It lets you carry in multiple positions. It carries two fully loaded magazines. And best of all, because you're a viewer of this program, you get it for $50 off. I am told that this discount is set to expire soon, so kick in your special pricing. Lock it in right now. Go to vanish.com/stew. That's vnsh.com/stew. vnsh.com/stew. It's all back for the money-back guarantee, and I believe them when they say it's the only holster that you'll ever need because it's the last one that you'll ever buy. Vanish.com/stew right now, today, before this discount expires. If you're struggling with swelling in your legs, ankles, or feet, you'll want to listen up. Maybe you're already drinking plenty of water. You've tried wearing the ugly compression socks. You've taken the ineffective water pills, and that's why still every day you look down and you see swollen, puffy, and deformed feet and ankles. Well, don't lose hope. New research shows that this common issue can easily be resolved by upping your intake of omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3s are proven to improve circulation while lowering inflammation in the body. That means it encourages blood and fluid to move more freely while reducing swelling and pain. Now, most people think fish oil is the way to go with omega-3s, but that's wrong. According to studies, krill oil is far superior for a few reasons. One of those reasons is krill is harvested from the pristine Antarctic Ocean where there's virtually no pollution. For a limited time right now, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Go do the research and buy them now while you can, $23 a bottle at StopSwollenFeet.com. Again, that's StopSwollenFeet.com. So for the successful first, I don't know, two centuries of its existence, America was a Christian nation. So were basically all of the nations of Europe during their golden ages of the past 500 years. It's only recently that we've abandoned our nationalist Christian heritage, and sure enough, guess what? We've gone into decline. Well, despite this, the press would have you think that the phrase Christian nationalism is unthinkable. They label it as bigoted and hateful and racist, even neo-Nazi. Others who call themselves Christian have described Christian nationalism as a kind of golden calf, a disordered way of practicing Christianity itself. But are any of these attacks actually true? Well, Stephen Wolfe argues that no, they're not. He's the author of a new book, The Case for Christian Nationalism. In that book, Stephen argues that Christian nationalism is the most viable alternative that we have to modern secularism and is the form of government that best shows love for both our neighbors and for our country. God created the nations. He created our languages. He created borders between our lands. He created our different cultures so that we might bond with our neighbors. It is globalism that seeks to blot out these cultural differences and to destroy our communities. And as Stephen argues in his book, there's nothing Christian about this. Globalism is fundamentally demonic. It's Luciferian in nature. And that's why Luciferian forces like our media are so determined to stamp out globalism's enemy, which is Christian nationalism. I want to hear more about that to that end. Stephen Wolfe joins us now. Stephen, thank you so much for being here. You know, we've been programmed to believe that uprising, for example, is a controversial idea, or that militia is a bad word, when this is exactly what our Constitution directs Americans to do when they're faced with a rogue, oppressive form of government that tramples the inherent God-given rights that were to be afforded. So now it's a slur to be called a Christian nationalist. Should it instead be viewed as a compliment or a badge of honor, so to speak?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wrote the book on it, and I'd hope that everyone would be okay with the label. I do think that American history, as you said before, is a Christian history. We do have a heritage of faith. I think for the last several decades, the academics and the media have been trying to convince us otherwise. But it certainly is the case. I think just the historical record is clear, not only prior to the founding, but at the founding and in the 19th century and early, the 20th century, that Americans thought of themselves as Christians. And sought to preserve that. It wasn't until recently that this kind of heritage was forgotten and kind of suppressed. And with that, I think with that heritage, as you said, was part of the Western tradition. So the idea of kind of a citizen soldier, or you mentioned militia, all these things that that conservatives for a long time have been saying we need to recover. Those are all part of the American tradition. And I think Christian nationalism, as the term and also the way I argue for it, is a way for us to kind of reinvigorate this sense of being an American historically. And I think it's a good way to encourage our fellow Americans to not only recover the values that we've had for a long time, but also their faith as well. To say that, no, as an Americans, we can be Christian Americans and not violate the American tradition.
Yeah. What are some of the slurs that you think are most often used alongside Christian nationalism? I've seen white supremacist. I've seen violent extremist. I mean, these are the phrases that they want to correlate with being a Christian nationalist. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's common. I mean, they were talking about white Christian nationalism before I had even written the book. I think it's most commonly white Christian nationalists, mainly so that they can attack, I think, white evangelicals who are consistent GOP voters. So I think that's one of the main intents behind that, is to just simply trash a certain demographic. And it's really unfortunate, really, because I mean, not only the Christian tradition, but the American tradition has been remarkably open to outsiders. We've brought in immigrants here from the very beginning, from the founding, of course, today. We've just wanted there to be some kind of assimilation such that we can maintain nationhood. But it's very unfortunate that they would then essentially reduce Christian nationalism to this racial, this kind of biological category that really within our history itself, that wasn't part of the kind of American Christian tradition.
What I think it is, well, first of all, we have to acknowledge that there's a war on Christianity. I mean, they've openly declared war on Christians. I mean, they're arresting Christians for silently praying. There is a war on Christians. There's also this broad brush that they use to paint any outspoken Christians, especially Christians like myself or like you, anybody, Dr. Stella Emanuel, anybody who stands firmly on their faith is going to be attacked. Many hosts on the network that we have here, they're going to be attacked. They're going to be labeled as these radicals, these extremists, these violent people, these racists, these bigots, misogynists, etc., along with this Christian nationalist tag that goes along with it. And it's my opinion that this is to escape accountability. Because when you have, for example, you know, pedophiles roaming the street in some parade, taking their pants off and waving their genitalia in front of children, I have boldly said and will stand behind and firm on, these are people that should be executed. They should be hanged publicly. And if you hang a few pedophiles in front of the whole world, I think that behavior would stop. And we're commanded by God to pick up the sword and fight and to protect these little ones, of course. So is it rhetoric like that they will use to then falsely mischaracterize so that with impunity, these pedophiles can continue for a whole month, you know, around the sin of pride to march up and down our streets and commit, you know, sexual misconduct around children?
Yeah, I mean, that is the sort of thing they will use to kind of tarnish Christians in the eyes of kind of a normie public. But I think that their agenda is broader. I think they see that Christianity, that traditional Christianity, it makes claims about reality that are actually morally robust, meaning that there is a good that the human being ought to conform to, and that is diametrically opposed to what they think is good, which is essentially just kind of this wild hedonism. So there's a reason why they are anti-Christian. That's precisely because Christianity would suppress their sort of hedonism that they want to essentially enshrine into our way of life. And so I think there is some people have framed it this way, and I think it's true, that that's either Christian nationalism or pagan nationalism. And in some ways, it's sort of a bizarre type of weak paganism. I think that is the dichotomy we're looking at. But I'd also say that we also have to keep in mind that people within our own camp, so evangelicals with people who, you know, claim the title evangelical or Christian or Roman Catholic, they are the ones who are speaking to the typical evangelical, the typical Protestant, the typical Roman Catholic. And they're the ones who I think are keeping us from asserting ourselves strongly. So we're always going to be attacked by secularists, by kind of the neo-pagans, by these sort of people who want kind of a secularist nation. It's the people within our own camp that I think are the true problem. And those are the sort of people we should focus a lot of attention on. I think people like Russell Moore, and others who have, I think, done a lot of damage theologically and politically to evangelicalism and the country.
So a lot of people would make the case that Christian nationalism is, in a sense, an attempt to create some sort of a theocracy in this country, a Christian theocracy. How would you explain that?
Yeah, I think the way I frame Christian nationalism is it could be applied in different ways in different places. So, and you want it to apply according to the traditions of the place. So if you have England, for example, what has a Church of England, has an established church. They have wide tolerance and religious liberty. Nevertheless, they still have an established church. So Christian nationalism in the English context would be, I think, the reinvigoration of the Church of England along the lines of continuing their tradition of tolerance, which we've basically adopted in kind of toleration on steroids. But in the American context, we have, just take the 19th century, where there was disestablishment of the state churches, and yet there still was a high religiosity among Americans. to the extent that foreigners would come here and they'd find it remarkable that you don't have an established church, you don't have anyone compelling anyone to religion or go or attend worship, and yet there's just high religiosity. So I think in the American context, it's not it's not establishing some denomination over others. I think in the local context, there can be something like that, though our tradition of toleration would extend to all groups. But I think that the accusation, I mean, when it comes down to it, the accusation of theocracy is the same kind of, is the same sort of thing as accusing someone of racism. It's, there's no definition to it. It just sounds scary. And that's what it comes down to. But the way that I think myself and then everyone I know who espouses Christian nationalism, they don't want to violate our tradition. Our tradition is wide toleration. But at the same time, we want to say that we are a Christian people and that we're going to order ourselves accordingly and promote that good in society. With, again, without, of course, legislating belief and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. He's written a great book. You should all go get it. Stephen Wolfe, The Case for Christian Nationalism. And, you know, as in the other book, the best book, the Bible, you know, we know that accountability is extreme and judgment by God is final. And so when our language is being looked at as extreme because of a Christian nationalism approach, you know, I think that extreme is good. And I think that this nation is obviously in need of a revival. And I wouldn't be opposed to a strict theocracy for certain reasons. And so they can judge me and use some broad sweeping lens to try to describe me and make me sound scary. But you know what? The fact is that we are at war. This is a war of good versus evil, and God needs soldiers in his army, which is growing. And that is the biggest threat to the enemy, is shining a light into the darkness and various things that these people are doing in such cynical and diabolical ways. We appreciate you being here so much. Thank you. God bless you. More of the Stu Peters Show continues in 60 seconds. Go nowhere. If you have a child and that child has a diagnosis of ADHD, you've gone to the doctor and they are suggesting neurotoxins like Adderall and Ritalin and methylphenidate and Clonidine because they are whores for big pharma and because they are poison pushers and fake doctors, please try something else before you destroy your kid's life potentially with all of the documented irreversible long-term side effects associated with all of the aforementioned. Please try CBD and please use the family-owned business that we do business with here. All the hemp is grown right here in my home state of Minnesota. Everything can be sourced. You're not going to get any poisons or toxic crap in your CBD like you will if you go to the corner store, which sells all of this BS from China. Go to curable.com. That's K-U-R-I-B-L, curable.com. Family-owned business, all the hemp sourced right here in my home state of Minnesota. So many other benefits to Curable, which you can find on their website. Plus, if you like THC products, they have them as well. Go to curable.com. Use promo code STU for 20% off site-wide when you go to curable.com. Look around at what's going on right now. Banks are collapsing all over the place. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. They say taxpayers won't pay. They say that other banks will pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? They'll probably raise your bank fees like they always do. And if the Fed steps in, you'll likely also be paying an inflation tax. In times like this, storing all of your money in a bank may be very risky, as we have seen. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Protect your wealth with gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now. Call 855-706-GOLD to learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD. If you have a Roku TV, download the Stu Peters Network app. Make sure that you tell all of your friends about that. We're smashing records over there on Roku. We'll say our message anywhere, which is exactly why we're on Amazon's Fire Stick, as well as Apple TV, DirecTV, Dish Network. Just look for the BEK News Network. Rumble, of course, and always at StuPeters.com. Other shows on the network that people really love, In the Trenches with Teddy Daniels, Shots Fired with Deanna Lorraine, Uncensored with Maria Z, of course, Crosstalk, and the Richard Leonard Show on the weekends. That's the military-based focused show. We'll be back here in the same time at the same place tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern from Minneapolis. Until then, God bless you.